You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
And co-host Keelan Harvey.
You're a local mortgage experts right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 8th show. It's a great day to talk money, and that's what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, and have a better quality life for you and your family. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that we have on the show today. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150, or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, Laura Curry, podcaster, speaker, and author of Difficult Happens, and the owner of Curry Support Services. Laura, thank you so much for coming and welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is such a pleasure.
And I have to say, I was invited on Laura's show on her podcast, and so it's really nice to have another expert in this arena to come in and to be able to interview. So I'm really interview you, and really excited to have you share your message with our listeners.
Thank you. It's a little nerve-wracking being on this side of the mic.
Well, you know, it is different. It is different when you run the show and then you're actually on the other side. I'm glad that you said that, because I feel the same way. I thought I was just kind of a little bit unique there, but obviously not. And a little bit about Laura. Laura Curry is a podcaster, speaker, and the author of Difficult Happens, Leaders whose business is dependent on the ability to communicate effectively. Hire Laura to help them create strong boundaries, recognize triggers, and identify responses that lead to conflict, so they are able to navigate and minimize those difficult situations with grace. I love the word grace. With 25 plus years of expertise in high conflict positions as an investigative journalist, private investigator, and court appointed child advocate in the high conflict divorces, she has a unique and intuitive understanding of why people act and react the way they do.
Laura, I want to start out. You're an author, all the awesome hats that you wear. Mm-hmm. You wrote the book Difficult Happens. What inspired you to write your book?
You know, I had seen so many themes play out consistently over and over again, whether it was in the court system or while investigating stories or with some of my clients as a private investigator. And these same themes seemed to be elusive to the people who were falling into this trap of this certain mm-hmm. pattern that they would mm-hmm. do. And I thought if I could just bring it out there and say, you know what, we're all reacting so much to so many things. If you just were aware of why you act and react the way you do, you may be able to change that reaction to a better outcome. Because, you know, we really just all want to connect mm-hmm. with
yes.
one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So in your book, Difficult Happens, How Trigger Boundaries and Emotional Impacts Your Everyday, you talk about the impact trigger reactions that everyone has. And how does that look?
You know, let's say you've got a client and you need to let them know that their credit's not good enough for the house or the mortgage that they want to get. Uh-huh. Boom, triggered reaction.
Yes.
Because it has to do
with
finances.
You can feel that heat coming on, right?
Right.
Yes.
It's immediate.
Yes.
It's visceral. And it happens without you even knowing. Now, you may become aware of it. And I want to actually clarify here. This is different than a trauma trigger. Mm. They're very similar.
Yep.
But a trauma trigger is completely involuntary and usually takes over your entire body. And so that's different. A triggered reaction is something that happens quickly. Just think about if your kids are misbehaving, you know, or they're just about to drop something. Uh-huh. Boom. It's your subconscious taking over and jumping in.
Yeah.
Well, you need to bring your conscious to your communication with other people. Now, sometimes your subconscious can go through the day and take care of everything and it's just fine.
Yes.
But when it comes to conflict or negative interaction, you need your full consciousness there. And those triggered reactions can get in the way.
Yeah, and we've done some things with body language in expert that came in and spoke with some of our real estate professionals, which, by the way, I'd love to get you in front of our real estate professionals on our Power Hour Lunch and Learn. But that's another conversation. Yeah, Keelan and I do all kinds of stuff for our real estate partners. Yeah, we had a body language expert in there, and I've been doing a lot of research on body language, because when I heard her say, just because of her, when she talked about 90% of our communication is nonverbal, that was kind of scary. And really in what you help people with, it's kind of on that same line, right? Of really just that your reaction to something a lot of it you really may not even know what's happening inside. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And some of it's the stuff that we've spent many, many successful years avoiding.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So when it comes up, we want to do that same avoiding again.
Yes.
But when you unpack it, you realize, oh, it really is not that big of a deal. Or, oh, I can make one tiny little difference and get a completely different outcome just by changing my reaction.
Laura, how do we know if we've triggered a client besides them ripping our heads off and yelling at us? What are the kind of subtle...
Which our clients would never do that
no,
for
no,
us.
No, no, I've never had that happen, but, you know, the obvious, right?
Of course
right?
not.
Not me. Mm-mm.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
If they did, they would be doing it to Keelan. Surely not me.
Thanks, Tina.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What are the subtle signs where you know you've kind of triggered somebody?
You know, there are two big ones. The first one is defensiveness. Right away, someone gets defensive. And if that defensiveness seems kind of abnormal, kind of like, wow, what happened? Something, the mood shifts somehow all of a sudden. And then the second thing is avoiding, all of a sudden shutting down and going away. Now, we all have a conflict personality type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's four main ones, and that's the pleaser, the perfectionist, the avoider, and the victim. And interestingly enough, they both will behave in both manners, meaning they'll avoid or they'll, you know, get really defensive and angry.
What were those four again?
So you have the perfectionist controller, the victim blamer, the innocent avoider, and the fixer pleaser.
Okay.
I'm a pleaser over here. I just got to cop to it.
Yeah, well, I am too.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So they always come back to like that fight or flight, though. Regardless of how you react, it's like, do I need to attack this or do, you know,
right.
the caveman mentality? Do I need to run away, right?
Right, right. And there are times, too, where people will freeze. And that is that inability to make a decision. And that's when they're actually to such a fearful level that their subconscious is shutting everything down. They're taking away all emotions. They're basically like, nope, we're going to shut everything down here and protect the ego, protect the it, you know.
Yeah, of course. So what about yourself? How do you know if you've been triggered?
It goes back to that immediate visceral reaction. So if I'm all of a sudden super defensive or super embarrassed, it's like, well, what is that? Where is that coming from? You know, you will come across some difficult people who like to elicit those emotions and kind of get them from you to kind of control you or manipulate you.
Uh-huh.
And those can be more obvious. But when you're just having a normal conversation or you meet someone new and all of a sudden you get a little defensive, it might be time to check the facts and
Got
see
it.
What's going on.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Good thing we're not like fainting goats, right? Where somebody comes at you and you just fall over, right?
Could be effective.
Yeah, you never know. So what do you do if you start to notice you've kind of been triggered here, like I'm getting upset or just something comes up? What can you do to kind of get yourself out of that situation? Or,
you know, the very first thing you do is stop and check the facts.
And what facts are you talking about?
Is this emotion, is this reaction appropriate?
Okay.
For what's going on.
That makes sense.
You know, because sometimes I'll get super defensive and it's all about my, what they call social psychological context, meaning I had a bad night's sleep. My breakfast was horrible. My coffee was cold. You know, that's where I'm coming to you from. You know, my mood is bad already. So if I can kind of take my temperature, you know, and then you get really curious. You start to clarify and verify some stuff, you know, ask some questions.
Uh-huh.
Say, you know, I heard this. Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard you say I can't actually afford this home.
Is
that correct?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Uh-huh. Well, and I always talk about I always talk about my positive triggers because everybody talks about negative triggers, but there's a balance of everything. So there's positive triggers as well. And I use my positive triggers to actually prevent myself from being a triggerer, if that's how you say that, you know, to really keep myself in a great space that I can be my best self almost all the time when I'm interacting with anybody else. And if I start to feel something, it's just to be able to draw from those positive triggers that I know is going to get me in a better place and it's going to help me be able to react differently.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. You know, my favorite triggered reaction is when I see my best friend. I mean, immediately I just smile and I know we're going to have a good time.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Do we always?
Uh-huh.
No. But, yeah. you know, it puts you in that immediately happy space.
And, yeah.
You know, our good friend Nikki Roush, you had her on
yes.
the show
yeah.
a little
Well,
while
she's
ago.
Actually going to be coming to our next Power Hour Lunch and Learn to talk with our agents.
Oh, I love
yeah.
her.
Yeah, I love how we have all these people. We're all in the same circle.
Yeah. yeah. She's great. But one of the things that she taught me is a little state management, you know. Uh-huh. Hey, before you go on Tina's show, just uh-huh. do a little state management, meaning take, you know, do your power stance.
Love
and kind
that.
Of think about, you know, I'm happy to be here.
I mean, love
it's
that.
Just like, and once you realize that, it's like, right, I'm going to feel that emotion. I'm going to yes. sit in that. So yeah. I love that you
well,
do
and
that.
Well, I use the example with, we talked about this on last week in the show when Keelan wasn't here, is it's kind of like that song that you hear on the radio. And my first moment was, you know, I was driving and I heard my favorite song or a song that what I was my first song when I had my first slow dance back in seventh grade. And I had this amazing feeling. And I compared with that because the space that I was in was not amazing. But instantly for that 4 minutes, I was. And that was when I thought, well, why couldn't I build this strategically every time that something comes up? Could I get myself back to that place? And it's worked ever since. I mm-hmm. just, you know, it's just beautiful.
It's unbelievable how music can instantly change your state.
Yeah, right? So why can't we find something else that's like music, like the dog putting his head out the window yeah. or a child playing with their mother or whatever that situation is that you know always puts you in a good mood or thinking about your best friend mm-hmm. because you know that always makes you excited. Or if it's your spouse that makes you mad all the time, because I have to say, Dave does. But what the other side of that story is, I make him mad all the time. So you have to really bring it back in and you've got to think, well, what are the great things about him? Because, of course, there's a balance in all of us. And then you can pull from those positive triggers. Mm-hmm. So instead, you're not reacting, which then you're just, then it becomes that ping pong back and forth in a communication, right?
Absolutely. You need yeah. to respond, not react.
Yes. Which and we're going to talk about that because I have that on my question for you.
Oh, goody.
I love that, Tina. I have a 2.5-year-old, so I just got to remember, I love you, Daddy, when she kicks me
exactly.
in the shin. Or, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Go so, to your warm and fuzzy place, yeah. your positive trigger.
Yeah, she didn't
Works
know.
Works for me every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I tell Dave, I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to go to my positive trigger place. I'm just going to react just because I feel like it. I'm going to intentionally, then we start laughing.
Take this. So, Laura, how can we communicate effectively with our clients or any other person during kind of these tense conversations just to make sure to kind of head off the conflict?
You know, there's a lot of different ways, but if you kind of feel like this person that you're going to have a dialogue with is more of a verbal processor, let them go ahead and verbally process. You know what I mean? Kind of get to know who it is you're talking to. Or if they're really visual, you know, give them a lot of visuals ahead of time.
Like
it really,
that.
It talk. You need to know who you're going to communicate with. You need to know who your clients are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the love languages.
Yeah.
Have you heard
yeah.
of the love
yeah,
languages?
Yes.
Well, clients have them too. Sometimes yeah. when I'm talking with I'm thinking of one client in particular who has a really hard time with emotions. Well, whenever we are working together, we walk side by side and talk because we're both focused forward instead of on each other, which seems very adversarial to her.
Yes.
So, you know, the more you know your client, the better you can communicate with them.
Well, it's kind of like how people learn.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to find their learning skills. So on that note, I'm going to take us to break. Continuing our conversation with Laura Curry, podcaster, speaker, and author of Difficult Happens and owner of Curry Support Services, right here in 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
And co-host Keelan Harvey.
And your local mortgage experts right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 8th show. We're here to help you build a strong financial blueprint 1 week and one show at a time. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that we have on the show. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Laura Curry, podcaster, speaker, and author of Difficult Happens and owner of Curry Support Services. And we're actually standing up now, Keelan. This actually feels kind of good.
It does. I don't know if I should jog or talk.
Yeah, just stay right there.
All right.
Laura, thank you again for being here for the entire show. Very excited to be here with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Laura, you talk about micro boundaries. So why do you say that a micro boundary breach is the most dangerous?
You know, I, I love this because when our boundaries are overstepped, mm-hmm. like someone steps to us, mm-hmm. we know that. Oh, we get up, we're ready for a fight. We know how to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
But those little tiny breaches that happen every day our work and with clients, all of a sudden maybe your phone's ringing at 7 or 8 or 9 at night and you're answering it. You are getting text messages and you're responding. These are micro breaches that you are allowing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might just be the way someone speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of make excuses for it. Well, you know, they're in a bad mood. I'm going to go ahead and let that slide. Those little tiny breaches are how business bullies get in there and take over. And before you know it, it's too late.
I love that. Well, I don't love it, but business bullies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We want to avoid those. So let's talk about, we kind of touched base on it for a second, but I'd like to go back to what are the conflict personality styles. Mm-hmm. And can you share a little bit more on that?
Sure. You know, most of the women and men that I work with are either perfectionists or pleasers.
Okay.
And I truly believe that they are the majority of us. And I think we can all relate in some way.
Especially
to
on a female side.
Yes.
Yes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And how that shows up, especially when it comes to conflict, is when you've got someone who is a perfectionist, they're going to want to really justify their actions and reactions to uphold that image of perfection.
Okay.
You know?
And so when it goes into that, you have an active role and a passive role. So passively, you might just control things, meaning you've got control set up in your world and your business and your, you know, work life so that your perfectionism can play out.
Okay.
It's the same thing with the pleaser fixer. You know, when it's done right, well, we're pleasing. We're go-givers. You know, we're really helpful. But when we try and fix, we've overstepped someone's boundaries. Because, you know, if someone doesn't ask you for something, running in and fixing someone else's problem, it really robs them of natural consequences.
Well, and I always say you got to stay in your own lanes. And that's one of the reasons why you've got to let somebody do their job so that they can feel confident and run that job. And you've got to have those clear lanes, not only so everybody knows what they need to be doing, but also so everybody can take recognition for the success. And they also can be accountable for the areas that need some improvement.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And natural consequences are the way that we learn and grow as human beings.
Yeah.
It's painful to watch someone go through a painful natural consequence, but if you rob them from it, the universe will give them something way more difficult the next time. Trust
interesting.
Me.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That is interesting. So, what about our own personality type and how that could cause conflicts with others? How can we create more problems and make things difficult with our own personality style?
Did you say create more problems?
Well, your personality style can create problems.
Oh, okay. Right? I got it. Yes. No, you're right.
If you're trying to fix the fixer person, they're upset now.
You're totally right.
Yeah. So how do we deal with that?
You know, if you're jumping in and taking over, like if I'm trying to please or fix something from someone else, let's say you're a perfectionist and I'm not doing it the right way. Before we've even had words with each other, we might be at a conflict or a potential conflict. And the same thing with the victim blamer or the avoider.
Uh-huh.
We all see the universe in a certain way. And I want to be clear that all of these are not negative or positive. They can be negative or positive.
So a victim is not negative all the time. There's some positive to a victim.
Yeah, a victim
What's the positive to a victim?
Now we're getting creative here. Yeah.
Well, they're hyper-aware. And they're aware of ways that they may be taken advantage of. And so they do a lot more of protection, which can be a good thing.
Okay.
Like I say,
I bet that could be a whole few shows just trying to get through just on the four
that
different.
Is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it really plays out in everything that you do.
Of course it does.
I struggle with the boxes and labels because we are all unique, but with a theme.
Yes.
You know, I'm an extrovert. I'm Irish. I'm 5'2". I'm born in Seattle.
You are very, very tiny.
So you can make some assumptions.
That's why you want to stand up. I get it.
Yay.
I got one off the cuff for you, Laura. There's got to be people out there like a combination. Like, so do you just got to try to be aware of like the type of person that you're dealing with if they yell at you for not checking something off right or, or get upset. So it's just really being aware of cues, I guess.
Absolutely. Being aware of what conflict looks like, how it happens, what are the components in a conflict and how you contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like once you realize someone's an extrovert versus an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you kind of give them a little bit more leeway when they don't want to come out and, you know, go dancing until 2 o'clock. You say, okay, let's go to a movie instead. But once you're aware of that, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's why.
Yeah. And people can be a combination of multiple.
Yeah.
Well, just like now, the DISC profile. You're like, I'm a high I influencer, but followed by a D. So normally you kind of have a couple of those mixed in. And love language, it's not like that you are one love language or not. But just like, so it's the same thing as everything else. You kind of intermix and figure out what the people that you're interacting with on a regular basis and how you can be better and adjust your, what do you call this, the styles, the personality styles,
the conflict styles
mm-hmm. to adjust with. So mm-hmm. just one more thing that we actually have to kind of figure out between the personality, the love language, the strengths. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff we've got to figure out how to interact the best with people.
Yeah. But once you do, it's like a bell that's been rung. It just can't be unrung. You know?
Love that. So let's talk about giving bad news, because in the mortgage industry, you know, there's times where bad news comes up, whether it's somebody can't qualify for something or they've made a change. So now they can no longer qualify when they could, or somebody's made a mistake. It could be our mistake or somebody from the outside. And what I see in our industry, especially, and I'm sure it's in other industries as well, because procrastination is something that people just kind of naturally do, mm-hmm. a whole nother show on that, but is they kind of just are holding off and waiting to give that bad news, knowing that it's going to be worse. So when it comes to really being in the best place of dealing with difficult things, what is the best way to give bad news to someone?
You know, I would say right away,
yes,
clearly, and in their language. Meaning, be as clear as you can possibly be.
Okay.
Be supportive. Don't defend. Don't explain. Don't justify. Give them time to process
to the point.
It. Yeah. And a lot of people need to verbally process it. And so they're going to like walk through it at you.
Yeah.
Let them do that.
Yes.
You know, later you can say, would you like to hear more about why this happened? You know, can I tell you my, I feel bad. I want to share with you. You can later.
Okay.
But first, just get it out there and let them process the information and try not to get defensive.
Yeah.
I like that. Rip the Band-Aid off and shush.
That's right. Yeah.
And just let them come at you and then circle back around.
Well, that's a good illustration visual there. That is how it goes. Yeah.
I'm an artiste. What can I say?
An artiste.
So, and I see this a lot with businesses, bad behavior. I want to get your perspective of how bad behavior can really cost a company, and probably not being aware of some of these things is one of those major things where maybe you're not doing it on purpose, but mm-hmm. you're just not jiving, right?
Yeah. If you perceive that a company that you're working with is totally defensive and justifying things all the time,
mm-hmm.
well, you probably don't care. You are the customer.
Yeah.
You know, even when you as a customer make a mistake, you don't want to get judged by someone you're paying money to, to
Amen,
help you,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So before we take it to a break, Laura, you've talked about boundaries and really being able to set your boundaries. And whether that's in work and life, I mean, you have to have those boundaries. And really being able to be an accessible person at the same time as setting boundaries. And this doesn't matter if you're a parent, or if it's a spousal relationship, or you're a leader with a team, or you have coworkers where you work together as a team. You know, you have to make yourself accessible, but you have to set those boundaries as well. So can you share how you teach people about boundaries?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, there are two types. There are the external boundaries and the internal boundaries. And where my clients seem to have the most problem often is that they overstep their own internal boundaries. They say yes when they mean no.
Oh, yes.
They do things that they really didn't want to. Yeah. They give away work product for free.
Yes.
And then they feel a little resentful for it afterwards. Oh. They're overstepping their own boundaries. And on top of that, they're teaching people how to treat them.
Yes.
So it can be a real problem.
And that's funny that you say that, because I talk in my course, you've got to learn when to say no. So you have to really be able to manage. Mine's more on time. It's managing your time and knowing when to say no. But you've got to be able to step up mm-hmm. and be okay with saying no,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah.
So, and don't mind read. You can't assume what someone else wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's where the boundary breach is coming from. Now, everybody wants to get something. And if you can get that for free, bonus. it's up to you to kind of set the boundaries on what is acceptable. And sometimes it may involve a mea culpa and a backseas, you know, to try and get it backseas by saying, you know, I know I did that for you before for free. However, that's something that I get paid for. That is part of my work product. So moving forward, if we're going to do that, it's going to cost this.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, it doesn't matter. You can only set your boundaries. You can't control other people.
Mm-hmm.
So they may get upset with you and they may push back a little bit. But if you're clear and respectful, then they've got nowhere to go with it.
Yeah. When you said external boundaries, talk a little bit about that before we take it to commercial.
So the biggest one is around time, your money, and your work product. Mm.
Okay.
And so you need to, you know, mortgage brokers, realtors, people who are in high stress, high stakes fields, which are most of the people that I work with, they don't get to turn off their phones all the time, you know, when they're at dinner. They do have to check their
email. I do. I set my boundaries. My phone is off when I'm on my personal time.
I love it.
Yes. I'm really good at setting boundaries.
Yeah. And so, you know, it depends on what your personal boundaries are.
Yes.
But you can say, okay, well, when I take my 2-week vacation, I'm going to set it up such that someone else. But you need to be clear. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're not clear. Also, you have to be malleable. What works in December may not work in August.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You need to know what the theme of your work year is, you know. So boundaries should be firm and malleable, and they should be checked in on often.
Yeah.
The other one is around money. You know, a lot of people have tough boundary issues around money.
Uh-huh.
You just need to take a look at it and see what's right for you. What do you want? And be clear about it.
Yeah. Love that. And a tip on boundaries with time for all the professionals that are listening. What I just always say, I schedule appointments with myself, but you know, the appointment with myself, nobody needs to know it's with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got an appointment, you've got a commitment with another client. And you know, would you ever cancel a client's appointment to schedule another client? Or would you take a phone call in the middle of a meeting with a client or referral partner? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you do that to yourself? Because we know we need to treat ourselves at the same level, at least, that we would be treating our clients, because that's the only way that we can be the best for our clients, our referral partners, and for our family. So I think it's a good place for us to take it to commercial, continuing our conversation with Laura Curry, podcaster, speaker, and author of Difficult Happens, and owner of Curry Support Services, right here on 1150 AM, KKNW, after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host, Keelan Harvey, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts, Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
And co-host, Keelan Harvey.
You're a local mortgage experts right here on 1150 AM, KKNW, the Saturday, September 8th show. We bring in studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market on everything money. We're here to help you in today's economy. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that we have on the show today. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Laura Curry, podcaster, speaker, and author of Difficult Happens and the owner of Curry Support Services.
So Laura, let's circle back kind of where we ended. You were talking about kind of time and money and energy. So you say that the real thief of your time is poor communication with your time, your money, and your energy. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, let me give you an example. Have you ever had kind of a stressful day where one client, you see their name on your calendar and already you're getting a little stressed out, you're thinking about them, thinking about your last interaction with them, and if you spent just 1 hour a day thinking about in a negative way about a communication with anyone or any kind of conversation you're going to have. That is 4 full work days a month.
Yeah, wow.
What would you do with 4 full? I know what I'd do with 4 full work days. Get some work done.
Yeah.
So it can rob you of your time.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, when I'm worried about something, it's a lot more than an hour that I'm going to spend on it.
And the worry of all that time around that you may think it's an hour, but it's probably a lot more because there's all of the other less great space that you're in, because that worry just kind of lags on and hangs with you, right?
Yeah, there's the residue.
That's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Yes, can kind of just take you over. So we were talking about boundaries before we went to break, and I know that you talk about some boundaries when it comes to words.
Yeah, you know, you really need to be careful because sometimes certain words will creep in and they can have other meanings.
Okay.
So when someone's overstepping your boundaries and they may use dismissive or diminutive language, you may think you want to give that a pass. But if you bring it up and say, you know, actually, let me give you an example. I had this boss and she and I did not get along. Like I said, I'm 5'2". I think she was about 6'2", 6'3".
Oh, my.
And she used to come in every morning and call me little bit.
Oh,
and, my. You know,
that's not right.
I was a little bit, but at the time, I think I was like 20. But it really hurt my feelings. And I asked her several times, could you please not call me that?
Yeah.
I find that offensive. And so then what she did is she'd come in every day and go, hi, a little bit. Oh, I mean, Laura. You know, and it's
wow.
It's like kind of condescending.
Oh, totally passive aggressive.
Yeah.
So the next time she came in, I said, hey, gargantuan.
Hey, Shaq.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
She never called me that again. But now that was not the most effective way to draw a firm boundary. I had been clear. And now as an adult, I would probably, you know, handle that
very differently. Well, now that you're coaching and teaching on this, you know exactly how to approach it.
Right, right.
Well, it could be kind of the same with, and not just a word, but even nicknames with people. And that's why I'm really trying to be careful not to do a nickname or all like, do you care if I call you Jess instead of Jesse? Because they'll tell you if they do. Because a lot of people, that actually affects them. Emotions like, dang it, she's calling me Jess. My name's Jesse. Or like Victoria, our executive assistant. She doesn't want you calling her V or Vic. You know, my husband calls her V, but he is the only one that can do that.
He's got a pass.
And but, you know, so really finding out and asking anything that's kind of out of the norm when it comes to, and that's a nickname, same thing. That and most of the time you can probably, getting back to the body language, you could probably kind of read that, oh, yeah, that didn't go very well, right?
Yeah, curiosity and intention can solve a lot of conflict.
Yes, love that.
So that's a good segue. You reminded me of something that you said earlier that I really liked. You said, what gets verbalized gets visible. Tell me more about that. What do you mean when you say that?
You know, we walk around all day long assuming and projecting. You're walking up the stairs, you're like, boy, I don't know. Is this dress fitting right? Or whatever it is. We assume and we project and we kind of mind read what other people are thinking. Well, when you verbalize it, it gets visible.
Yes.
Sometimes, you may say something and the other person's like, oh, no, actually, I was just thinking about the lawn I have to mow when I get home, you know, or whatever it is.
So the culture is critically important in any company. And you know, I talk about that, you know, with our team back in the mortgage industry. And, you know, I have a mortgage software and there's developers that are all involved. And, you know, having that culture of what you represent is critically important. And you say that culture trumps intent every time. Can you give us an example?
Absolutely. If you've got an owner, a business owner, even if it's like on a small team, who doesn't really like to confront or doesn't really like to talk about issues, and maybe they've got one employee who's been, you know, displaying some bad behavior. If it gets tolerated, that now is the culture of your company. And it infects all the other team members.
Yeah.
And in doing so, their interactions with your clients will also be infected.
Yes.
So, you know, you really have to stick to clear mission, vision, and values when it comes to your company.
Yeah.
And if you have a clear and stated mission, vision, and values, then that is the prism, that is the lens through which people look and how they judge everything from the type of clients they're going to work with to the type of work they're going to do.
And that's why it's so critically important, especially for the leader, that you really lead with what your culture is, that you lead by example, which we hear so many times, but you see so many times in the industry that you don't see that. And, you know, so really, really important.
Yeah. And you don't need to tell everybody what's going on all the time.
Yes.
You can say, I know that we've had a little bit of a problem with Joe. I want you to know that I am aware of it and I am taking care of it. And if there's anything that you need to know, I'll let you know.
Love that.
I like the theme. It's really just about being aware and not letting the little things go by and not sweeping things under the rug, but like really being aware of kind of the details of what's going on and addressing it and taking action. So you talk about actions and reactions. So how do you teach people to lead with action and not that reaction?
You know, there's two things that you can do right away. And the first one is, if you've had a negative interaction or something that just didn't go right, I want you to rewrite the history on that.
Yeah.
Sit down and rewrite it in your mind. What if it had gone completely perfect? What would your actions have been? What would your reactions have been or not been? What would you like to do differently? Because when you do that, then you have kind of a blueprint that you can use the next time you get into a similar situation.
Yeah.
And also pay attention to your body. I mean, for me, when I start to get tense before I even react, it's right up here on my shoulders.
Yes.
My shoulders go up to my ears, and I'm holding my breath, and it's like, oh, okay, what's going on? I need to check in. What's the feeling? What's the emotion? And sometimes just that, and you, okay, yeah. I'm good to go now.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love that because I've never called it check-in, but I like that. I'm always checking in with myself. How am I doing? You know, am I feeling good so that I can, you know, really be, again, you know, the best when I'm interacting with other people. So I love that. I just play a game with myself. You know, how good can I make myself feel today?
Yeah.
And, you know, really, because it really is all about that. Everything is stemmed from how you feel. Mm-hmm. And so really making an intention, conscious effort to always be working on yourself inside, because outside, I mean, you can portray, you can most of the time read it if somebody has a big smile on their face and they really don't mean it, but that insight and really being able to work on that is critically important. So why is it so difficult for people to recognize that the conflicts that they're having with others, again, whether it's team, employees, parents, spouse, you know, all of our communications, why is it so hard for some people to recognize that they are actually causing this conflict?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's twofold. One, that they don't want to take a closer look. I think first that personal growth is part of our job as human beings.
Great.
And I think that you cannot be a good leader if you also don't have personal growth.
Great.
But also it's the patterns. People don't recognize the subconscious patterns of reactions that they've gotten into. And if they were just aware that every single conflict had a triggering event, meaning something happened that made you react, then there came an assumption about what that meant for you, for them.
Yeah.
And then there was a judgment. Is it a positive or negative for me? Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to that fight or flight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there is a reaction, and that reaction leads to the outcome.
Exactly.
Now, if right after the assumption and the judgment, you can take just a beat, just to say, am I correct? Where's this assumption or judgment? Can I do anything differently here before I react to get a different outcome?
Yes.
Then they will get a different outcome.
Yeah.
It's these patterns, these mindless patterns that we fall into.
It's the habits that they've created in those mindless patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And they get reinforced every time you do it.
Of course, yeah.
That's interesting. Let's talk about perfectionism and the need to please. I notice, like, people that really want to do well, somehow it often translates into that, like, everything's got to be perfect and I got to please everybody. And you talk a lot about boundaries, so I think that's super important. I know Tina's like a pro at it. She never even looks at her phone if you're spending time with her because she's so time-blocked and things. But getting off task, so perfectionism, need to please, how can that get in the way of your success?
You know, we can be so hard on ourselves. And it is amazing to me how we don't seem to be able to use our superpowers on ourselves very well.
Yeah.
And so I often fall into this. And I need to check the facts with myself quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Because it can interfere with me projecting or assuming onto other people what they are expecting of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know how it is when you get stuck in a loop of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Ooh, the self-judgment, the mindset.
Yeah.
You know, if you get into a negative mindset, it can be a spiral. And we have scripts in our minds that we repeat over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I just had lunch with my mom, and she was talking about this old blues singer who used to sing a song. I can't remember the name of the singer, but the song was called "I'm So Tired." I'm so tired. Anyway, the doctor told her she had to stop singing that song. Because she was making herself sick.
That makes
so much sense.
Yeah. And I think of that all the time. Mm-hmm. If I'm judging myself by not being perfect about something or disappointing somebody, then that's a script that I'm repeating.
Yes.
And it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I always say, because I'm a big affirmation girl. And people say affirmations don't work. And the truth is they do work, and it's critically important that everybody has affirmations. And if you don't, you're only left to, because an affirmation is an intentional conversation you have with yourself or intentional words you say to yourself. If you don't have intentional ones, you're only left with the unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
That is the conversations that you're having with yourself every second of the day. So if you want to weigh on that, which is pretty devastating. And so if you think about it, if somebody's saying, I'm not going to be late, I'm not going to be late, I'm not going to be late, what happens? They're late.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that those people are always late? It's because the brain doesn't understand understand the words that you're saying. It only understands the emotion behind it. And if you're stressed out about being late, you're going to be late. Mm-hmm. Other example I use is the ketchup bottle in the refrigerator, which we've all been there. You're telling your spouse the ketchup bottle is not there and it's right in front of you. But until they come up and actually show you, mm-hmm. you have just blocked that from. So, you know, same thing here, right? It's mm-hmm. I like the you rewrite your script. And if you notice that something is not making you feel well and you're having those conversations, to take that step back and rethink of how can I rewrite that script mm-hmm. to have a better conversation with myself. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And, you know, we all have a comfort emotion. Mm-hmm. And the comfort emotion is not so comfortable. Some people are really comfortable being angry. That's a powerful emotion. I mean, it is anger is a great protector.
Sad.
And some people have a comfort emotion of shame. That's where they go to. So a lot of times what happens is when we have these reactions, our negative experiences, we go to our comfort emotion. And maybe that's shame. Maybe that's fear. Maybe that's anger. Whatever it is. But it manifests in your body.
Yeah.
And then it kind of fulfills itself. It will, if you start to feel afraid and there's nothing fearful around you, you will be afraid.
Yes.
So you need to kind of take a close look at what is the emotion that you go to when you're mm-hmm. in conflict. What is the emotion you go to when you feel like you're always late, always late?
Yes, you know? Yes. And so on the other side of that, think about that when you're interacting with other people, that think about the natural emotion or place that they go to and maybe what that's why that they're acting like they are. And if maybe if you can react a little bit differently to that, you can stop that process there before it compounds.
Mm-hmm. Laura, everybody's their own worst critic, right? You have that voice in your head. And I've always used the tool of like diluting that thinking. So in the mornings, I use my car, and so does Tina, mm-hmm. as a place where I have like 150 YouTube
videos. I do a refresh every day in the middle of the afternoon, as Caitlin knows.
She mm-hmm. never misses one. Mm-hmm. And just diluting that and really like injecting more positivity, that's kind of my tool. What would you suggest as a tool for people to use to stop that dialogue and to help themselves kind of break those cycles? Because it's a habit, really.
It is. Yeah, it's a habit of reacting to yourself internally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the affirmations. I definitely do affirmations, and I journal a lot.
Yes.
And I take the temperature of my body at least 4 or 5 times a day.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where am I tense? Why am I tense?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? You know, because your body keeps the score.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I'm starting to stress about a client, mm-hmm. my body doesn't know that I'm not in an interaction with that client right now.
Yes.
So my body is reliving that stress mm-hmm. over several times. So you can definitely do that, journaling, and make sure you're hanging out with the right people, you know?
Amen on that,
You know, when you've got a good mentor or you've got some biz besties, I call them. I have a group of biz besties, and uh-huh. we get together, and we Snapchat every morning, and we're trying to send the worst possible picture of ourselves to each other in the morning to kind of set your mindset for the day.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. Well, Laura, thank you so much for coming in and visiting our show. It was a pleasure to have you here, and look forward to having you back, and just really great, all of the great things that you're doing.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, and this is your host, Tina Mitchell.
And co-host, Keelan Harvey.
Your local mortgage expert, signing off for the day, but we'll be here same place, same time next weekend, next Saturday, right here at 1150 AM KKNW. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.